The Bible verses today from Genesis 50:15-26, and then from the New Testament, Romans 8:28-30. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers were frightened. "Now Joseph will pay us back for all the evil we did to him," they said. So they sent him this message: "Before he died, your father instructed us to tell you to forgive us for the great evil we did to you. We servants of the God of your father beg you to forgive us." When Joseph read the message, he broke down and cried. Then his brothers came and fell down before him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph told them, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God to judge and punish you? As far as I am concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. For he brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. Indeed, I myself will take care of you and your families." And he spoke very kindly to them, reassuring them. So Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. Joseph was 110 years old when he died. He lived to see the birth of his son Ephraim's children and the children of Machir, Manasseh's son, who played at his feet. "Soon I will die," Joseph told his brothers. "But God will surely come and get you and bring you out of this land of Egypt and take you back to the land he promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Then Joseph made his brothers promise with an oath that they would take his body back with them when they returned to Canaan. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and they embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Romans 8:28-30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. May God bless the reading of his word.
Well, when we left Joseph a couple of Sundays ago, he was holding his brothers in his arms, and everybody was crying. It was a great reunion. After 22 years of guilt and anger, they finally accept each other as a family and sob in each other's arms. It's the kind of scene you want to tiptoe away from, you know? It's holy ground. And when we left here, we were thinking about our own wounded relationships. There's a time to lean over to people who've disappointed us and welcome them once again into the family. One of the reasons it's important to work on reconciling relationships is because, folks, the clock is ticking. It's ticking on all of them. Sooner or later, time runs out. We embrace Joseph and his family with love, and we think about our own families, and we embrace each other in grace and love. His father had come to Egypt to see the son he thought was dead. Imagine that. That his father gets to come after 22 years and see his son alive. Can you imagine what that must have been like? He thought he was dead. He'd grieved over him all these years. And here he is, alive. They all embrace, and Joseph says goodbye to his father, Jacob. And then the text runs through the years and tells us of Joseph as an old man, now 110 years old. And he calls his brothers to him, and he blesses them, and then he dies. But in old age, Joseph turns to the business of saying farewell. Now, that's not just something you do when you're at the point of death. I think it's something we need to do from time to time in our living. My former pastor said that we need to look back from time to time and pronounce a benediction over our past. That's what Joseph does. Let the past go and move into the future. The word benediction comes from Latin words bene, which means well or good, and decore, which means to speak or to say. So benediction means to say a good word, to speak well of, or to say a blessing over. And Joseph in his old age is like a man standing high on a mountain, looking back over the whole landscape of his life, and he sees beautiful dreams. He sees bitter betrayal. He sees faithfulness, and he sees lies, and he sees success, and he sees slavery. He's looking at all of his life. He sees a palace. He sees a prison. He sees life. He sees death. And over it all, he pronounces a blessing. It is good. It is all good. All of it, Joseph? That's not all. He turns and faces the future and he says, of all that's to be, everything that's going to happen in the future, that is good too. He blesses the past. He blesses the future. But when Joseph got around to doing this, he was probably on the verge of saying goodbye to everything. But he embraces it all. It's good. The past, the future, it's good. Now, folks, I think you need to do this, no matter how old you are. I really think you need to do this. You need to bless your past, and you need to bless your future, no matter how old you are. It's good, and it's good. The past, it was good, and the future is good. We need to learn to pronounce this blessing over our lives. But when Joseph did this, you know, he was at the end of his life. Maybe it's easier to do when you're older. I don't know. What do you think? You think it's easier to do when you get older and you're at that point, you're kind of looking back over your life and you don't have much longer to live. It's pretty easy then to kind of look back in reflection and say, well, I can see now how God was with me. And I know God will be with me in the future. So today I want to say a few words to those among us who are older adults. You can decide who that is among you. I'm not going to give the age group, you know. So how do you feel about old age? Some of you don't like it very much. I was told not long ago by one of my seniors, don't grow old. Well, what's the alternative? Don't grow old. I'm not quite sure how to take that. Maybe what she meant was, we're hoping to get rid of you, and you know, the sooner the better. Senior adults deal with all kinds of stuff. I mean, loss of strength. There's just a lot of losses, aren't there? You lose your strength, you lose your work, you lose your mobility, you lose your freedom, you lose your friends, you lose your family, you lose your dignity. I mean, you lose so much. You lose your sense of purpose. I understand what she meant. Don't grow old. You don't want to lose all those things. And I also know that old age wouldn't be so painful for her and others if our society could stop portraying aging as a disgrace. You know, our youth worshiping culture is sick. And more often than not, what happens is that the seniors get neglected. And getting old is like a punishment. It's not a privilege. Shouldn't be that way. There's a prize-winning play. It's called I'm Not Rappaport. It's about two old men who decide to assert themselves against those who simply don't like looking at older people. One of them says to a young businessman these words, "You collect old cars, old furniture, everything old, and you love everything old except old people. We're bad souvenirs. We talk too much. And even when we're not talking, we say things you don't want to hear. So put them with them and put them with their own kind. Put them someplace." "Well," he said, "I think the problem is not that life's too short. The problem is life is very long, so you better have a policy, because here we are." You understand? The old people, you're the survivors. You know something. Folks, they haven't just stayed here to try to ruin your party, okay? That's exactly right. And they're miracles. It's a miracle, folks. George is the greatest miracle of all. And I think in some ways they're like the newly born. I mean, close to the end is as precious as close to the beginning. Isn't it? You tell that old man he's old, that's okay. But you tell him he's unnecessary, that's a sin. That's abortion at the other end. Old age has plenty of inescapable grief in it, folks. There ought to be some honor in it too, don't you think? And some sanctity in it. For Joseph, the dreamer, the question is, can old people still dream? Can you still have dreams? And I've read that our definition of the age tends to be those who no longer have dreams. But the scripture says when the Holy Spirit goes to work, your old men dream dreams. So you might be old, but God can still use you to dream new dreams about what our world is supposed to be like and how we can make that happen. And apparently your capacity to dream has a whole lot more to do with how you look back on your life, whether you're old or not. We've all got some life behind us, don't we, to look back on? And Joseph gives us a choice. You know, you can look back and you can see things in a negative way, or you can look back and you can see things in a positive way. You get to choose, folks. You get to choose. Are you going to look back and you're going to see everything as bad? Or are you going to look back and you're going to see how God was at work in ways that perhaps you couldn't see? But you get to choose. And I've met some folks who looked back, and I'm telling you what, it was all sad and miserable, and I'm thinking to myself, couldn't have been that bad. Really? Had to be some good. But what happens to Joseph, what happens to us, is when we look back, we see God's meaning through it all. We see that somehow God was at work in ways that perhaps at the time we couldn't see. And the evil that you've seen, God didn't cause it. But from where you're standing now, looking back, are you able to see over all those awful places the love of God working there, turning evil into good somehow for you, for others? Did you see it? Can you see it? That's what Joseph saw. That's what Joseph did. When his father died, his brothers got frightened. They started begging Joseph, "Are you going to get rid of us now? I mean, our dad was living, and maybe the only reason you were taking care of us was because our dad was alive. But now our dad's gone, and we're sorry for what we've done." When someone dies in the family, the politics in family change. And old guilts, old fears, they get all stirred up again. So here they come begging for mercy, and when Joseph sees him, he breaks down, he starts crying, and Joseph says, "Don't be afraid of me, I'm not God." But I'll tell you what I know. You meant it for evil. You sold me as a slave. And you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Wow. God took it and made something good out of it. Can God take the crucifixion and make a resurrection out of it? You meant it for evil. Look what God did. Are you getting this, folks? This means yes, this means no. You've got those crucifixions. I know you've all got them. They're in your past. Somebody hurt you. Somebody did something against you. Somebody meant evil against you, and you know they meant evil against you. And you gave it to God, and God took it and made something good out of it. Imagine that. Well, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. And God is still doing it. Still doing it. And it's most amazing when we can see it. Isn't it? I see your failures, I see my failures, but beneath it all, I see the faithfulness of God. And God did something good. Can you see that yet? Maybe not yet. Maybe some of you are still too close, and you can't see it yet. And the part of life behind you, will you give that to God, that evil, and ask God to make something good out of it? Will you? Can you at least do that? I think that's a prayer we can pray, isn't it? God, I'm not there yet. Yeah, I'm not quite there. I'm still hurting a whole lot. But I believe in you. I believe in your power. And I believe that you can take something evil and you can make something good. I believe. That's the whole meaning of the cross of Christ. It's the landscape behind you. Give it grace. Pour the grace of God over it all. Pour the grace of God over it all. Has God forgiven you? Yes. And does God ask you to forgive others? Yes. In fact, that's the Lord's Prayer. You just said it. And what did we say? Lord, I want you to forgive me. How do we say it? Lord, I want you to forgive me in the same way I forgive others. I want you to give as much grace to me as I give to other people. You pray it every Sunday. Do you mean it? Really? Is that what you want? You want God to be as gracious to you as you are to others? Anybody here want that? That's what you're praying. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God, I want you to forgive me as much as I forgive others. That's what I want. Really? And you say it every Sunday. I kind of laugh at that. I think there's some people here saying something they don't believe at all. Either that or you're giving God a really easy job because he didn't have to forgive you of anything, hardly. Because you're going around carrying it all. God's been gracious to you. You be gracious to others. If you can see this, then I think you can accept your past. You can breathe a benediction over it. Joseph did it with more than words. He also did it with tears. He did it with a surprising, definite decision. He said just before he died, I want you to carry my bones back and bury me at my home. Incidentally, that was the place, Joseph's burial. This last week, you read about it in the news. Think of what he's saying. Home is where somebody clothed you, loved you. I want to go back home. Home is where his brothers were hateful. Do you have any reason to want to go back there? They sold him. Yet in the end, that's what he said. I want to go back home. Grady Nutt, you know, some of you don't know Grady Nutt. You all know Grady Nutt? He was on Hee Haw. Did y'all watch Hee Haw? I had to watch it with my grandparents. And Grady Nutt once said, I've never met a mature person who's still mad at where he came from. Joseph was mature. He made peace with where he came from. He knows where God's grace met him. He knows where his bones belong. How about you? You at peace with your past? Joseph was. Looking back, he could see his whole life in retrospect. And he looked at it all through faith. And he said over it all, it's good. Verse 20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. And doesn't that sound like a little, like the beginning of a book of Genesis in chapter 1? God created a world and every bit of it singing, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. And now in the last chapter of Genesis, child of God is looking over his life and saying, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. Sure is good. Was there suffering? Was there failure? Was there sin? Yeah. Yeah, all of that. But more than that, there was the faithfulness of God. And those with the eyes to see will see the faithfulness of God. And Joseph didn't just bless the past. Joseph blessed the future. His last word to his brother was, God will also be faithful to you. God will come. God will visit you. And God will surely come to your aid. This guy who's been dreaming all his life now closes his eyes and he breathes his last and he dies. But his last word was that God will be faithful in the future. God will be as faithful in the future as God has been in the past. Can you say that, folks? God will be faithful in the future as God has been in the past. God is faithful. Some of you need to see that God's been faithful. Some of you come a long, long way. And you need to tell the rest of us, you know, grace has brought me this far. Grace will bring you through too. And if you're a senior adult among us, thank you. Thank you for reminding us that God is faithful. Let's pray. God, we know that grace has brought us this far and that grace will lead us home. We thank you for stooping down over every painful place in our lives and being gracious to us. We thank you, God, for not only what you have done, but what you're going to do in our life, for all that's in store for us in this life and the eternal one to follow. Amen. It's time for us to respond to God.